Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, this Bible study and the message in a moment, they are not conjoining scriptures. They're not a part one and a part two, but they will very much so go hand in hand. This Bible study, that message is just a continuation of this Bible study. They're going to very much so go hand in hand, and it's because of their urgency. I have an urgent Bible study for us this morning, and I have an urgent message for us in a moment. Very, very urgent. And I pray the Lord will impress that urgency on us. Matthew chapter 4 begins with the temptation of our Lord. And we're not going to look at that specifically this morning. We're going to focus on a scripture that our Lord quoted. He quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. That's what we're going to focus on. Let's read it, and then I'll tell you what the heart of the study is, what we're trying to get to. Matthew 4, verse 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit." And just hold on to that. Just remember that for the message. He was led of the Spirit. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came," that's the adversary, "when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But our Lord answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Our Lord was tempted with a physical temptation, a physical fulfillment, physical gratification. We who are in the flesh would see that to be a physical need. That's what we would see it to be, a need for life, to sustain life, bread, food. And the Lord's response was, "That's not what a man needs for life." That was his response. "That's not what will sustain a man's life. Temporary life, yes. A man needs some bread to sustain temporary physical life." He did not say, "Man doesn't need bread at all." He said, "Man cannot live temporarily here by bread alone." If we're talking about this physical life, sure, we need some bread. But eternal life, which is the only life that matters. And this is what I want to convey to us. This temporary life that we are in doesn't matter. It does not matter. It doesn't matter at all. This temporary life is not real life. The Apostle Paul said, these things are temporal. We're not looking to the temporal. These light afflictions are but a moment. We're looking to eternal things. We are looking to eternal things. Our Lord said, man cannot live that eternal life that God's people are looking to by bread alone, he said, it's going to take every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And this is an important side note. A man cannot take part of the words. This is a very important side note, total side note. But as people take these words, and you know how men are, they'll take some of them. A man cannot take most of them and reject the ones he doesn't like. It's going to take, in order for us to receive eternal life, it's going to take every word. A man's going to have to take in, receive, ingest every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is the heart of our study. This is what I want us to see. If we get a hold of this, we will have gotten the point of the Bible study and we will have gotten the meaning of our Lord's words. Eternal life is the only life that matters. And as we hear this, we're all saying, yep, that's right, brother. But if we go into the depths of this, it's going to be shocking. Eternal life is the only life that matters. Everything that we do as human beings is in the pursuit of health, wealth, and happiness. And I'm not just talking about the unbelieving world. I'm talking about us. Everything that we do as human beings is in the pursuit of health, wealth, and happiness. And number one, if pursuing health, wealth, and happiness is going to cost us Christ, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You're going to be faced with decisions. You're going to have decisions. You're going to have decisions, decisions, decisions. That's what life is, full of decisions. And if anything is going to cost us Christ, it is not worth it. If it's going to be at the expense of eternal life, it's not worth it. No thing is worth neglecting the things of eternity for. No thing. That's the first thing we need to know. It's not worth it. Bread is not worth it. The second thing we need to know is this. The health that this world has to offer us is not true health. It's not really health. The wealth that this world has to offer us is not true wealth. And the happiness that this world has to offer us is not true happiness. Our health in this life, here on this earth, is only for a short time. And you who are above the age of 30, especially 40, realize it's just like it's leaving you. Our health in this world, in this life, is only for a short time. Because of our sin, we are actually fading as leaves. We're fading. We get a sickness. We get a disease of some kind. And we go get medical treatment for it. And we recover from it. Like when people say, you've heard people say this all the time, I beat cancer. All right, we get a disease, we go get medical treatment, and we recover from it. We're still going to die. You go get this disease and you recover from it. Then you go get that disease and you recover from it. We're still going to die. This is what Solomon realized. The wisest man on this earth, this is what he realized. If death is postponed, they say you got a horrible case of cancer. And you go get treatment and they throw everything they have at it and you recover. And the cancer's gone. You're in remission. If we recover, if that death is postponed, it's only because of God's sovereign appointment. It was appointed for that to be. It's not that death was put off. It wasn't our time. It wasn't our appointed time to die. But it is appointed unto man once to die. The healthiest man on this earth has the exact same end as the sickest man on this earth. One man can spend his life going from hospital to hospital, going from wheelchair to bed, declining, worsening until finally he dies. And another man can be a perfect picture of health, standing tall, walking tall, strong as an ox. And all of a sudden, he dies. Well, I understand why the first one died, but why in the world did the second one die? It was his appointed time. It was his appointed time. And it does not matter what his physical health seemed to be. It does not matter. It was not lasting health. It was not true health. The health that this world has to offer is not true health. And the wealth that this world has to offer is not true wealth. We come into this world with nothing. What are we going to leave with? Nothing. Nothing. A man works his whole life away. I kind of feel like I have. A man works his whole life away. But, you know, a man does a little better than I did, and he stacks millions in the bank. And then he leaves this world with nothing more than a homeless man. Nothing more. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it dissolves. Like cotton candy. As soon as you bite it, gone. All gone. Health, wealth, let's just suffice it to say that our sin will ruin all happiness in this life. Physical, worldly happiness, that's the shortest lived of all of them. Just constantly being ruined. So this is what our Lord is saying to us. And I pray God will teach this to me. I mean, this is just really, I'm begging the Lord for a double portion of His Spirit today to really reach us. I pray God will impress this upon me. Physical bread, physical fulfillments are not what matters. They do not matter at all. They will not sustain our lives. They will not last. It is the eternal bread that we need. We need eternal fulfillments. We need an eternal health. It does not matter. If you find out that you have a disease, or if I find out that I have a disease, I want you to remind me of this. When I find out and I'm crushed inside and worried and fearful, you remind me that the health of this world doesn't matter. The Lord's bringing all of us to one end. It does not matter. We need an eternal health. That's what we need. We need one that sin and sickness can't touch, can't kill. I love how our Lord said, sin is not coming into my eternal kingdom. Will not enter in. We need an eternal wealth, one that will never fade away. We get something on this earth, and you know it's so. We spend all our time and worry after that trying not to lose it. You get a hold of something and you're just trying not to lose it. We need a wealth that can never be stripped away from us. And we need an eternal happiness. Not one that's here for a minute and gone the next. We need an eternal happiness, an everlasting rejoicing. Where do we find that? Christ. Christ. Now, I wrote down in my notes, I cannot convince me of that. I wrote down in my notes, I'm telling us, here's the answer, Christ. I cannot convince me. I don't have the power to convince me of that. I can say it. You don't need anything but Christ. I can say it. And I realize I don't have the power to convince me of that. I don't have the power to convince you of that. It's going to take the Holy Ghost. It's going to take the Holy Spirit of God. God is three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. It's going to take God the Spirit to convince us of that. It's going to take God coming down, reaching down, laying hold of us to convince us of that. We need Christ. We need Christ. Man cannot live by bread. It's going to take the Word of God. And Christ is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, don't turn. But speaking of Christ, the Word, Psalm 42, verse 11 says, He is the health of our countenance. He is our health, our eternal health. If God blesses us with glory, we're going to know health like we've never known. He is our everlasting health. He said, whoever lives and believes in me is never going to die. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He gave his own son to the death of the cross. He gave his own son to our sickness, our sin, our cross. He gave his own son to that. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him, faith is not of ourselves. That's the gift of God. Whoever God does that for, is not going to perish, but have eternal life. He is our true health. Ephesians 3:8 says, Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches. He is wealth that can never be told. Wealth so vast, it cannot diminish. It cannot fade away. It cannot rot. It cannot rust. And concerning happiness, Peter said, Christ, for a believer, is joy unspeakable. And he is joy unspeakable. Oh, how eternally happy is he who hath the God of Jacob for his help. Christ is true health, true wealth, and true happiness. Now, if that's what we desire, we need to go to him. We need to go to him. Where can we find him? If we say, okay, I want to go to him, where can we find him? In his word. Right here in his word. This is the word of Christ. It's called the word of God. That's right. The word of Christ. When the scripture speaks of the word, we have all kinds of verses that speak of the word. It's speaking of the written word. It talks about your word. It's speaking of the written word of Christ. And it's also speaking of Christ, the man, the word made flesh. Speaking of both of them. They're one and the same. Psalm 138 verse 2 says, The Lord God has magnified the word above everything. He's magnified the word above everything. And as far as tangible things go, things here in this physical world, he has magnified this word, these written words, above everything. This word is our tangible connection to our Savior. Christ, who is our life. We would be wise, this is what I'm trying to get at, we would be wise to pursue this. With all of our ability. y'all get up every day and open your Bible and read it for 5 or 6 hours and then go do the things that are required of you and run right home and open your Bible and read for another. It's not in the flesh to do it. It's not in the flesh to do it. It's going to take the Holy Spirit. It's going to take the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying I do. Necessity's laid on me. I have to open this Word. I have to dig into this Word. And I thank God for putting me in the burden, in the position to where I have to open this Word. Because it's not in my sinful flesh to do it. But this is what we need. This is what we need. I had an illustration and I threw it out. I was going to tell you, if I told you, you need money to live, you're going to have to get some money to live. You'd be like, amen, brother, you do. You need to devote some time to it. You need to. That's right. This is what we need. It's going to take God's Spirit to convince us of this. This is what we need for everything we need. He has magnified this Word. This is our connection to Christ. This is our connection to Him. And we would be so wise to pursue, give ourselves to the Word of the Lord. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. I need the words that have proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord in my heart more than I need bread in my belly. More. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 50. Psalm 119, verse 50, it says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." It's the word that the Holy Spirit of God uses to quicken His people. It's not the preacher. Our Lord used a donkey one time. It's not the man. It's not his charisma. It's not his speaking ability. It's not by man's might, man's power. It's not. It's the Word. It's not by man's illustrations, as although our Lord preached with illustrations, and I adore illustrations. It's not illustrations. It's the Word that the Holy Spirit uses to quicken His people. The message of the gospel comes. The message of the good news of the Word comes. And it says, "And you hath He quickened." And through that word, God's elect sinners are quickened from death to life. Amazingly, miraculous, He uses the word. Look at verse 81 right here in Psalm 119. Verse 81 says, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Because of sin, the soul begins to faint." It just begins to faint. But the word reminds us of the blood. The soul starts dwelling on the sin. And then the word starts dwelling on the blood. It tells us the blood paid the debt of that sin. The blood blotted out the transgression of that sin. The blood wiped the slate clean. And hearing that word, it brings hope to God's people again. Look at verse 89. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The promises will never change. They'll never be taken back. They are forever settled in heaven. Our Savior said, "I am the Lord. I change not." That means I'm forever settled. That's why you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Do you ever feel like you're in a dark place? You ever feel like you're in a dark place in life, a dark place in the world? You ever feel like you're in just darkness? Look at Psalm 119, verse 105. Verse 105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This word lights the way. All capital letters. The way. Christ said, I'm the way. This word light, when you feel like you're in darkness, like I do most of the time, this word will light the way again. Look at verse 116. It says, uphold me according to thy word. This is what upholds us. Look at verse 162. It says, I rejoice in thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I rejoice. This is our rejoicing. Look at verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. This is our understanding. Look at verse 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word. This is what we speak of. This is what we look to. This is our all. James said, the Apostle James said, he said, this life on earth is a vapor. Just a vapor. It's here for a brief little moment, and then it vanishes away. Now, I hear that the second half goes faster than the first half. And the first half has gone pretty fast. He said it's here for just a little moment. And it all vanishes away. Vanishes away. This is all that we are going to have to hold on to. This is all that is going to remain after everything else vanishes away. I am an advocate, very much so. I'll let it be known. I'm an advocate for going to the gym. But man cannot live by going to the gym alone. Don't. I'm talking to me first and all of us because I love us. I fear for us. Don't. Go after physical health at the expense of Christ. Don't do it. I am an advocate, very much so, for a man and a woman earning money to provide for his or her family. The scripture says, a man that will not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. That means worse than an unbeliever. A man or a woman has to do what a man or a woman has to do to provide for his or her own. But don't go after physical wealth at the expense of Christ. We'll be going after something that is not. All of a sudden, it will be not. And we will have missed the only thing that is. I am all for, and Solomon was too. I am all for enjoying things in this life and finding a little temporary happiness in the things that have been provided to us. The Lord has given us homes and given us some bread and given us some money and things like that. And I'm all for having our friends over and let's share it together. And I'm all for taking my family on vacation. I'm all for these things. The Lord has given us nice cars and such on and so forth. I'm for it. But don't seek happiness in this world at the expense of Christ. Man cannot live by any of these things alone. We're going to find that out so quickly. It's just scared me. You know, I understand the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is coming so quickly. We're about to find out so quickly. I'm waiting on the number 48. I'm 44. Lord took my mother at 48. Four more years, 3.5 more years. I'll be at the place where he took her. And, you know, 70. We're not promised 70. It's coming so quickly. Could be today. It could be tomorrow. It is coming so quickly. There is one thing needful. Before I step out of this pulpit and we stand up and go to that foyer, we need to understand we need one thing. One thing. And it's Christ. It's Christ. It's His salvation. It's His life. It's His body. It's His blood. It's His mercy. It's His grace. It's His word. It's His spirit. It's His presence. It's His worship. It's His gospel. It's His people. It's this right here. It's this right here. Our Lord said, make this your priority. Make Christ your top priority. Put everything else second to Him. Everything else. I don't have time. I was going to take you to Matthew 6. You can read that on your own. It's precious. I'm not going to read that to you. But our Lord there said, take no thought for this life. Wouldn't that make a man a fool? Not according to God. Take no thought for this life. He said, don't take any thought for the things that you need in this life. But don't I need to go to work? Yeah, and he told us to. He said, a man ought to work while there's 12 hours in a day. But this is what he said. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what is His righteousness? Christ. His name shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. He's the end of the law for righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And this is what He said. All these things that you need shall be added to you. Seek Christ first. Put Christ first. A child of God who has received a work of grace. If he has done something, a child of God who has received a work of His grace will say, that's exactly what I want to do. I'm so thankful to the Word for telling me that. Oh, I'm so thankful for the Word for reminding me of that. That's exactly what I want to do. I pray the Lord will let that be exactly what we all want to do. All right, you're dismissed.